Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right from the Left Coast, and my name is Linda. I'm your host today, and I'm broadcasting from beautiful southern sunny California, about 62 degrees, sunny and clear. See, it's 4 o'clock here, my time, Pacific time. No, that's Donna Summer. That's back from the 80s, I believe. Doc, welcome to the show. Welcome to all our listeners. We are brought to you by PatriotFamilies.com. That's www.PatriotFamilies.com. And everyone that's listening, welcome. Hopefully others show up. I did put a blast out today and also posted a little bit, I believe, on Facebook and Patriot Families. We put the link in there. And, we were chatting, Doc and I were chatting in the chat room here just before we went on the air, talking about the State of the Union address. And it was, believe me, the whole night, I don't even know how Hannity and the rest of them stayed up that late. I was done by 9 o'clock or so. And, It was disgusting. The guy, he's a narcissist, yes. He's a total liar. He lied about so many things, and I want to get into that a little bit later because I want to go through the transcript of the speech that Rand Paul gave, and the only people that covered it was the Blaze Network. And I see there's a guest. It could be Rod Luke coming in. Hopefully Yola or Rod's coming in. Rand Paul gave a great speech. We're going to get into that a little bit later. And I've got a cool clip from my friend Bradley, if I can find it. And he's basically what he has his own show too. And he goes all over the country speaking to, hey, Rod, welcome. Bradley goes all over the country speaking at high schools. And I think he goes to some college campuses and spreads the word of the Lord and also the founding of this country. He talks about the Constitution, the Federalist Papers, the Revolutionary War, the Bill of Rights. He talks about all those things, and he educates these kids because they're not going to get it anywhere else. So he's an amazing guy, and we're going to do that in a second. But just to soothe my own soul today, because last night was a mess. I was screaming at the TV. I should have just turned it off. Had one too many wines, and by the time I got finished screaming for close to an hour, somebody called the cops. So that was my night. It was horrible and pretty crazy stuff. Anyway, so from our scriptures, Proverbs 19, I'd go through chapter or verse 1 through 9. It's really cool, and it's got a lot of stuff here with that talks about people who deceive, and this goes hand in hand with the deception that we heard yesterday, or those who did tune into the, you know, President Pinocchio. Anyway, it's chapter 19, Proverbs, and it says, better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Also, that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good, and he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. Wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. Many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. All the brethren of the poor do hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursueth them with words, yet they are wanting to him. He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. One can only hope. That's the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Rod and Doc and everyone that's listening. Hopefully others will show up soon. This is an hour show. I've got about 55 minutes left. And anyone that would like to call in, it is 646-378-0321. I'm going to play a little clip. This is Time Magazine's Tyrants of the Year, which usually they say the man of the year or the person of the year. And so Pinocchio has been twice now on the cover of Time as the person of the year. And he's in good company. So take a listen to this five-minute clip and see if the sound comes through okay. If I can get this.
Time Magazine has labeled the following people Man of the Year. Adolf Hitler was declared Time's Man of the Year in 1938, and Hitler was a fascist dictator whose dangerous political power grab cost the lives of over 50 million people during World War II, 405,000 of whom were American soldiers, and 12 million of whom were exterminated through the Holocaust. Joseph Stalin was declared Time's Man of the Year in 1939 and 1942. Stalin was the cruel tyrant of the Soviet Union, who was responsible for killing 20 million of his own citizens. President Franklin Roosevelt referred to Stalin as a kind Uncle Joe back in the 1930s. Stalin said, "America is like a healthy body, and its resistance is threefold: its patriotism, its morality, and its spiritual life. If we can undermine these three areas, America will collapse from within." Nikita Khrushchev was declared Time's Man of the Year in 1957. Nikita Khrushchev was a Russian communist who seized power as a dictator over the Soviet Union when Joseph Stalin died in 1953. He liked to threaten and bully his opposition, and his leadership of the communist bloc in the Cold War was so dangerous he had to be removed by his subordinates. Nikita Khrushchev said, "We don't have to destroy America with missiles. America will destroy itself from within." Richard Nixon was declared Time's Man of the Year in 1971. We all know Nixon was to be impeached due to his abuse of power and obstruction of justice in the Watergate scandal.
Well, I'm not a crook.
Henry Kissinger was declared Time's Man of the Year in 1972. Kissinger is a known globalist in support of a new world order. And Bob Chapman, editor of the International Forecaster, who spent 3 years in the United States Army counterintelligence, said that Kissinger is a known pedophile in other countries. He quoted the cover of Italy's Osservatore Romano as stating, "Henry Kissinger's in town, hide your children." And of course, America, you wouldn't see that kind of a headline here. Kissinger was also quoted as saying, "Of your military, America, military men are just dumb, stupid animals to be used as pawns in foreign policy." Ayatollah Khomeini was declared Time's Man of the Year in 1979. The Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini was a Shiite Muslim who became the dictator of Iran in 1979. The Ayatollah came to power as a part of Jimmy Carter's human rights policy. Using the youth, he headed a mass campaign of torture, rape, and execution against political opponents, as well as their families, close friends, and anyone who was accused of insufficient Islamic behavior. President Reagan criticized Khomeini as a maniacal fanatic who has slaughtered thousands and thousands of people, calling its executions. Mikhail Gorbachev was declared Time's Man of the Year in 1987 and 1989. Gorbachev was an active member of the Communist Party during his college years and eventually became the head of the Soviet Union until its dissolution in 1991. He is a self-proclaimed atheist, and his globalist ideology is being taught in over 10,000 American schools through his socialized program called GLOBE. And now we come to Barack Hussein Obama, declared Person of the Year by Time in 2008 and 2012. Time changed the title from Man of the Year to Person of the Year in 1999. Barack Hussein Obama has been the most destructive president in America. He is known as the most biblically hostile president. He's attempted to attack the foundations of America over and over, to tear down the Constitution, and attempt to recreate it in his own image. He has been labeled America's first gay president, is a shameless advocate of the murder of children in the womb, even attempting to force private institutions to fund it, and has abused his power over and over in an attempt to strip American citizens of their Second Amendment right to bear arms. Obama is following in pursuit of dictators, aforementioned by Time magazine. And after seeing who Time is awarding, one must ask, who are they working for? Friends, you can fool some of the people all of the time, and all of the people some of the time, but you cannot fool all of the people all of the time, and for sure, God at no time.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for putting up with that. It was an absolutely wonderful clip. I love Bradley Dean. He's been on my show once, and I'd like to get him back on again. For those who just tuned in, Bradley goes through the whole country. He's very busy. He has his own radio show. I think it's 1 hour, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, on I don't know if it's Blog Talk. I can't remember where the link got into, but maybe he has his own network on sonsofliberty.com. And he talks to the high school kids and sometimes the college kids. He's expanding to that venue, teaching them the word, teaching them about history, and teaching them about the Revolutionary War and the blood and treasure so that we could have those Bill of Rights. And those things are exactly what we need to be thinking about. And with that, I wanted to kind of give you a good perspective on a rebuttal, not from Marco Rubio, because I think he's a rhino, but from Rand Paul. And Rand was on Glenn's show for 20 minutes this morning when I woke up, and talking to Glenn about his speech and the things that he's watching out for, and that he's very, very, Rand Paul is very concerned about BHO usurping powers he doesn't have. And Rand says he will do everything in his power to stop him, from using executive orders of any kind. And thank God we have people like Ted Cruz and Rand Paul and Louis Gohmert in there, because those guys fight like crazy. Let me get to this speech and I'll get through that. And if you guys hang with me, I'm out of the studio for a second. So this is the text of Senator Rand Paul's Tea Party response to Obama's State of the Union address. He says, "I speak to you tonight from Washington, D.C. The state of our economy is tenuous, but our people remain the greatest example of freedom and prosperity the world has ever known. People say America is exceptional. I agree, but it's not the complexion of our skin or the twists in our DNA that make us unique. America is exceptional because we were founded upon the notion that everyone should be free to pursue life, liberty, and happiness. For the first time in history, men and women were guaranteed a chance to succeed based not on who your parents were, but on your own initiative and desire to work. We are in danger, though, of forgetting what made us great. The president seems to think the country can continue to borrow $50,000 per second. The president believes that we should just squeeze more money out of those who are working. The path we are on is not sustainable, but few in Congress or in this administration seem to recognize that their actions are endangering the prosperity of this great nation. Ronald Reagan said, government is not the answer to the problem. Government is the problem. Tonight, the president told the nation he disagrees. President Obama believes government is the solution. More government, more taxes, more debt. What the president fails to grasp is the American system that rewards hard work is what made America so prosperous. What America needs is not Robin Hood, but Adam Smith. In the year we won our independence, Adam Smith described what creates the wealth of nations, which is one of his books. He described a limited government that largely did not interfere with individuals and their pursuit of happiness. All that we are, all that we wish to be now, it is now threatened by the notion that you can have something for nothing, that you can have your cake and eat it too, that you can spend $1 trillion every year that you don't have. I was elected to the Senate in 2010 by people worried about our country, worried about our kids and their future. I thought I knew how bad it was in Washington, but it is worse than I ever imagined. Congress is debating the wrong things. Every debate in Washington is about how much to increase spending, a little or a lot, and about how much to increase taxes, a little or a lot. The president does a big woe is me over the $1.2 trillion sequester, which is basically cuts that probably will never happen, hopefully that they will, that he endorsed and signed into law. Some Republicans are joining him. Few people understand that the sequester doesn't even cut any spending. It just slows the rate of growth. Even with the sequester, government will grow over $7 trillion over the next 10 years. Only in Washington could an increase of $7 trillion in spending over a decade be called a cut. So what is the president's answer? Over the past 4 years, he has added over $6 trillion in new debt and may well do the same in the second term. What solutions does he offer? He takes entitlement reform off the table and seeks to squeeze more money out of the private sector. He says he wants a balanced approach. What the country really needs is a balanced budget. Washington acts in a way that your family never could. They spend money they do not have. They borrow from future generations, and then they blame each other for never fixing the problem. Tonight, I urge you to demand a new course. Demand Washington change their ways or be sent home. To begin with, we absolutely must pass a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution. The amendment must include strict tax and spending limitations. Liberals complain that the budget can't be balanced, but if you cut just one penny from each dollar we currently spend, the budget would balance within 6 or 7 years. And that's the Mac Penny Plan, which is brilliant. The Penny Plan has been crafted into a bill that millions of conservatives across the country support. I'm one of them. It is often said that there is not enough bipartisanship up here. That is not true. In fact, there is plenty. Both parties have been guilty of spending too much, of protecting their sacred cows, of backroom deals in which everyone up here wins, but every taxpayer loses. It's time for a new bipartisan consensus. It is time Democrats admit that not every dollar spent on domestic programs is sacred, and it is time Republicans realize that military spending is not immune to waste, fraud, and abuse. Where would we cut spending? Well, we could start with ending all foreign aid to countries that are burning our flag and chanting death to America. The president could begin by stopping the F-16s and Abrams tanks being given to the radical Islamic government of Egypt. Not only should the sequester stand, many pundits say the sequester really needs to be at least $4 trillion to avoid another downgrade of America's credit rating. It's coming, folks. Both parties will have to agree to cut or we will never fix our fiscal mess. Bipartisanship is not what is missing in Washington. Common sense is. Trillion-dollar deficits hurt us all. Printing more money to feed the never-ending appetite for spending hurts us all. We pay higher prices every time we go to the supermarket or the gas pump. The value of the dollar shrinks with each new day. Contrary to what the president claims, big government and debt are not a friend to the poor and the elderly. Big government debt keeps the poor and saps the savings of the elderly. This massive expansion of the debt destroys savings and steals the value of your wages. Big government makes it more expensive to put food on the table. Big government is not your friend. The president offers you free stuff, but his policies keep you poor. Under President Obama, the ranks of America's poor swelled to almost 1 in 6 people last year, reaching a new high as long-term unemployment left millions of Americans struggling and out of work. The cycle must be broken. The willpower to do this will not come from Congress. It must come from the American people. Next month, I will propose a 5-year budget, balanced budget, a budget that last year was endorsed by taxpayer groups across the country for its boldness and for actually solving the problem. I will work with anyone on either side of the aisle who wants to cut spending. But in recent years, there has been no one to work with. Oh, somebody finally gets it. Going on, the president's massive tax hikes and spending increases have caused his budgets to get zero votes in both houses of Congress. Not a single Democrat voted for the president's budget, but at least he tried. Senate Democrats have not even produced a budget in the time I have been in office, a shameful display of incompetence that illustrates their lack of seriousness. This year, they say they will have a budget, but after just recently imposing hundreds of billions in new taxes, they now say they will include more tax hikes in their budget. We must stand firm. We must say no and to any more tax hikes. Only through lower taxes, less regulation, and more freedom will the economy begin to grow again. Our party is the party of growth, jobs, and prosperity, and we will boldly lead on these issues. Under the Obama economy, 12 million people are out of work. During the president's first term, 800,000 construction workers lost their jobs, and another 800,000 simply gave up on looking for work. With my five-year budget, millions of jobs would be created by cutting the corporate income tax in half, yay, by creating a flat personal income tax of 17%, and by cutting the regulations that are strangling American businesses. Agenda 21 and EPA, anybody? The only stimulus ever proven to work is leaving more money in the hands of those who earned it. For those who are struggling, we want you to have something infinitely more valuable than a free phone. We want you to have a job and a pathway to success. We are the party that embraces hard work and ingenuity. Therefore, we must be the party that embraces the immigrant who wants to come to America for a better future. We must be the party who sees immigrants as assets, not liabilities. We must be the party that says, if you want to work, if you want to become an American, we welcome you. For those striving to climb the ladder of success, we must fix our schools. America's educational system is leaving behind anyone who starts with disadvantages. We have cut classroom size in half, tripled spending on education, and still we lag much behind much of the world. A great education needs to be available for everyone, whether you live on a country club lane or in government housing. This will only happen when we allow schools choice for everyone, rich, poor, white, black, or brown. Let the taxes you pay for education follow each and every student to the school of your choice. Competition has made America the richest nation in history. Competition can make our educational system the envy of the world. The status quo traps poor children in crumbling system of hopelessness. When every child can, like the president's kids, go to the school of their choice, then will the dreams of our children come true. Washington could also use a dose of transparency, which is why we should fight back against middle-of-the-night deals that end with massive bills no one has read. We must continue to fight for legislation that forces Congress to read the bills. We must continue to object when Congress sticks special interest riders on bills in the dead of night. Oh, I agree with him on that, too. And if Congress refuses to obey its own rules, if Congress refuses to pass a budget, if Congress refuses to read the bills, then I say, sweep the place clean, limit their terms, and send them home. I have seen the inner sanctum of Congress, and believe me, there is no monopoly on knowledge there. If they will not listen, if they will not balance the budget, then we should limit their terms. We are the party that adheres to the Constitution. We will not let the liberals tread on the Second Amendment. We will fight to defend the entire Bill of Rights, from the right to trial by jury to the right to be free from unlawful searches. We will stand up against excessive government power wherever we see it. We cannot and will not allow any president to act as if he were a king. We will not let any president use executive orders to impinge on the Second Amendment. Hooray! Go, Rand Paul. We will not tolerate secret lists of American citizens who can be killed without trial. Montesquieu wrote that there can be no liberty when the executive branch and the legislative branch are combined. Absolutely. Separation of powers is a bedrock principle of our Constitution. We took the president to court over his unconstitutional recess appointments, and we won. If necessary, we'll take him to court again if he attempts to legislate by executive order. Congress must reassert its authority as the protector of these rights and stand up for them, no matter which party is in power. Congress must stand as a check to the power of the executive, and it must stand as it was intended, as a voice of the people. The people are crying out for change. They are asking for us to hear their voices, to fix our broken system, to right our economy, and to restore their liberty. Let us tonight let them know that we hear their voices, that we can and must work together, that we can and must rechart our course toward a better future. America has much greatness left in her. We will begin to thrive again when we begin to believe in ourselves again, when we regain our respect for our founding documents, when we balance our budget, when we understand that capitalism and free markets and free individuals are what creates our nation's prosperity. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is, hey, Yola, love you. I was just reading Rand Paul's speech from last night, and the only people that covered it was Fox News, The Blaze. I mean, not Fox, but The Blaze on Glenn Beck's show on the Internet, the only outlet that covered it. So I didn't have an audio for you, but I hope you enjoyed that because that guy makes a lot of sense. Anybody that wants to call in, please weigh in on this. I got 34 minutes left, 646-378-0321. The update on the idiot in California, the body is burned, the cabin was burned. Apparently there was a shootout with this Dorner guy up in Big Bear. They're still doing forensic tests to make sure that he's the one. It's speculating that he got out through a tunnel in this cabin up there. So God only knows. I mean, who knows what goes down in the news media. Can't trust them anyway. So, again, Bill or Doc or Rod, anybody, yo, guest, please call in 646-378-0321. So the other thing they're talking about is, let me go back here real quick and find that article. This was on, gosh, I'll find it in a minute. Okay, here it is. It says, is Obama setting us up, or the United States up for military takeover? And it was from Godfather Politics, and I thought I'd do, this is a short one, so I'm going to get through this one. It says, since taking office 4 years ago, President Barack Obama has been steadily eviscerating the power of the U.S. military. One slice at a time. It is really about, is it really about budget or setting the U.S. For a military takeover by another power? First, he pushed to allow gays to openly serve, which saw the evacuation of a number of good and morally sound military leaders and troops, and a lot of generals, and I'm sure chaplains. Next, he started attacking Christians in the military, stripping them of their symbols of their faith, while not stripping Muslims of the symbols of their faith. He also pushed new regulations that tried to force military chaplains to go against their faith by performing same-sex marriages and opening up their chapels for those ceremonies. Chaplains were threatened with court-martial for failure to comply. Then Obama started apologizing for everything our military did against other nations instead of backing them up. A growing number of military personnel do not feel that Obama has their backs, nor does he support them in their duties. You think? In the name of economics, he orders Defense Secretary Leon Panetta to slice the Pentagon budget by over 20%. The result is a reduction of troops in all branches of the military. It also means a reduction of weapons, aircraft, and warships. To add further disharmony among members of the military, the Obama administration is about to extend costly benefits to the unmarried homosexual partners of active military personnel. You got this? You hear that? The same benefits will not be extended to the unmarried heterosexual partners of active military personnel. The cost of the extended benefits will cost the Pentagon millions of dollars, but they are cutting everywhere else because of budget constraints. Oh, my God. The Navy that has had to put the refueling and reconditioning of one, possibly two aircraft carriers on hold because of funding constraints. One aircraft carrier was scheduled to deploy to the Middle East, but that has also been canceled because of the budget issues. In the latest slicing and dicing of our military power, Obama is planning on making another major reduction in our nuclear arsenal. In 2010, the United States had around 2,468 nuclear weapons deployed in underground silos. Oh, to have one of those on submarines and bombers. He has already reduced that amount to 1,700 and now wants to cut it down to 1,000. That is a total reduction of 60% in just the last 2.5 years. I have always been taught that the best defense is a strong offense and that America's strong offense has stopped most countries from attacking our nation since World War II. Under Obama's direction, our strong offense is being reduced to a plain offense. He has, let me go back up, sorry, I lost it. He has been gutting much of our strength and defensive powers. Before long, other nations will take a second look at our military in capability and decide it's time to strike. When they do, I truly wonder whose side Barack Hussein Obama will be on. I don't think it will be ours. Anyway, that was that particular piece, and I wanted to get that one out of there and go back to the studio. Hey, FT, welcome. Bill, Doc, Rod, Yola, FT, guest 5031. Welcome to the show. Oh, it's been, the speech was horrible. I was very happy that I'm going to bring Bill in. Hold on. Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Linda. You're doing great, too.
Thanks. Yeah, it was a crazy night, I'm telling you. I should have turned it off because I just got all upset, and then I was screaming at the television, and so. And the
I was upset that they didn't put Rubio's response on.
Rand Paul?
Rand Paul's, yeah. They didn't put his response on. I was upset about that.
Yep.
But let's be logical here, and even Rand Paul has one thing wrong. Immigration.
Right.
Legal
right.
Immigration is what has made this country great. But if you cater to those who have come illegally,
I agree.
You're asking to destroy us. And one of the staples of Agenda 21 is the destruction of our culture. And they will use illegals, and they will use Muslims to
yep.
bring that about. And
okay.
they are doing it. There are all these illegals that are coming, and you get groups like La Raza, who should not be getting a dime of the taxpayers' money, but does get over several million dollars a year,
yeah.
and supports groups like Oxlon and those kinds of groups who are racist groups, racist hate groups. That's all they are.
Yeah, and, I noticed that, of course, Rand Paul was talking about, you know, Obama's speech and talking about all this the ridiculous increase in spending, and of course he's jumping on the bandwagon of you know all his executive orders and you know cap and trade and oh my gosh you know and
when you jumped on the spending you hit the second avenue of Agenda 21 and that is to destroy the economy
sure.
and they've got a pretty good leg up on that and any further push to spending and stuff by Obama will just be furthering that. And then there comes to the third of their floor, and that would be
right.
to limit our ability to defend ourselves.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely.
And Obama's been working on that since he's been in office.
Sure. Well,
he's been working on all three of these things.
Yeah.
And it's these three things. If we could just lock onto one of these things and tear
mm-hmm.
it down,
yep.
we would start the fall and collapse of Agenda 21.
Right. This is why, in fact, I think it's a week from today, there's a meeting in Carlsbad I may have mentioned yesterday. I'm going to be there after my show because it starts at 6 o'clock, and that's like a 10-minute drive if there's no traffic, and I'm hoping at that hour there won't be. But, you know, every time I get stuck in traffic, I go, God, I didn't know there that many people in California still had jobs. I was shocked. But, yeah, it's bizarre. Yeah, because, I mean, some of the stuff, I think it was Gavin Newsom that was on Sean Hannity's show. And that guy is just – he's as delusional as Jerry Brown and Obama. And the problem is I remember reading Liberty and Tyranny. This is like 4 or 5 years ago when it first came out by Mark Levin. And he says statism, which he calls it statism, which is totalitarian, you know, whatever you want to call it. He just lumped it into statism because it is. He says these people are insatiable. And like Rand Paul said, there's never enough money. It will never be enough. Because they can't help themselves. They're addicted to it. They want power. They're crazy. I'm telling you. You could take the freaking Rothschilds' money and they'd still want more. You know what I'm saying? All they want is money, power, and position. They don't want to give up all their stuff.
You hit something there. There are certain people whose money they never go after.
If you really
want to show us where your heart is, Barack Obama. They take away every bit of Bill Gates' money except for $100,000. Take away every bit of Warren Buffett's money except for $100,000.
Oh, that's not going to happen.
You're not going to do it. Take away George Soros' money.
Yeah, no.
You try to touch his money, Obama, you'll be out of office so fast. You think you're all that and this and that. Everybody knows if George Soros tells you to jump, you'll ask him how high.
Yep, I know. That's part of it. Because he's beholden to these guys because they've given him a lot of money. I mean, millions and millions of dollars.
He does what Soros, Maurice Strong, and the
yep.
Rothschilds tell him to do.
Exactly. You got it. Because that's who put him in. Oh, and don't forget the Clintons. You know, and see, Hildebeest is probably going to try to run in 2016, right? So
Hilda
she,
Beast is going to be lucky if Barack Obama doesn't have her killed before then.
Well, I don't know.
I'm
about
serious.
That
because, I am serious.
Because they're playing nice with each other, and she threw herself under the bus as Secretary of State on the Benghazi deal, which we haven't heard the last of yet, believe me. Here's the deal on that. I do believe that David Horowitz, with his research, that the global elites and all those guys you mentioned, and both Bill and Hillary helped get him, plant him in. And I think Oprah Winfrey had a hand in it as well. Of course, Valerie Jarrett. All these guys were in on this.
Valerie Jarrett. People, just check into Valerie's connections to the carbon exchanges.
Yep. Oh, yeah, the all that stuff, the Chicago one. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that. And the Bank of I think it was the Bank of Chicago or something. There was it was all Crime Inc. And it was exposed by Glenn Beck, even back on Fox News. I remember
and
that.
And then they defuncted it. But what they did is they went up and they bought proxy shares in other other carbon
sure.
exchanges. So they're still the main
yeah.
players in the carbon exchanges.
Yeah, and it was I think it was his name was Joel Rogers or something like that. He was one of
Joe
the big
Rogers.
Players. He was a big player. All these guys are connected, every one of them. And then, of course, Schmuckface in the White House, he –
Well, you got to figure Al Gore was involved. You got to figure
oh, yeah.
Obama's in there. Valerie Jarrett's in there.
Yep.
Clinton's are in there.
The Joyce Foundation, yeah.
Yeah, and it goes both parties. It goes
oh, yeah.
both parties.
Oh,
and
you
that's
know.
The whole thing. That's the whole thing that nobody in this country is waking up to.
Oh, I know.
It don't matter if it's Marco Rubio or Barack Obama. It's two
I know.
Parties. It's two parties. It's one party masquerading as two.
I would make a prediction.
If you don't believe that, look at our history. Look at how our debt has steadily kept increasing
yep.
throughout history.
Yep. Constantly.
People, we should have been throwing a fit when it hit $1 million.
Yep.
We
absolutely.
Should have been throwing a fit when it hit $1 billion.
Yep.
And when it hit a trillion, we're
and then,
16 and a half trillion, they're telling you. The truth is, it's already laid out. You can figure by 2016, if you look it up on the debt clock and forward it to 2016,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be 26 trillion, closer to 30 trillion by the time they get done.
And they're not even counting all the.
And that's
the,
just 2016.
Yeah, there's other hidden things in there, too, because everybody knows that's got half a brain, this is never going to get paid back. That in fact today on Glenn's show there was a guy who writes he's an economist and he's
name me a politician who went into office and came out of office with no more than he went in with.
Yeah, oh yeah, well I know. We're looking at a one party system and we know it because these guys they're all lying through their teeth, and that's what Rand was saying. You know, this guy, the economist, Glenn, they were talking about the deficits and the debt and the craziness and the financial collapse is coming, and nobody can predict when, but they know that it's like, what, a couple years out, maybe five? I mean, you know, because they just keep doing this. It's ridiculous. There's no way to stop it. And it's not going to be good, but what both of them had said today was giving me hope that if you prepare yourself now – you know, we can get through this. You've got to have, like you guys do, you've got your chickens, you've got your place to grow food and canning, and I've got food storage, I've got everything I pretty much need right now to not only be a help to my family, but even to my neighbors and extended family, you know, and that sort of thing, because they're not going to be prepared, you know. And the thing is, this is why we have to have our Second Amendment. We cannot ever let that go. That's the one thing.
Well.
That's it.
Can say that, but Linda, let me put it to you another way. If you can't get food and you can't get water.
Oh, I know. I know. You have to be in a...
You will give up your guns.
The people who have not prepared will do that. Absolutely. They'll sell them for food.
We have a dumbed-down country that half of them couldn't go to the woods and survive.
No, they... Oh, no. They couldn't survive without a microwave. Are you kidding me? Let alone the woods. Oh my gosh, that's absolutely true. It's going to be scary. But
it's
you know,
going to be very scary.
I think the thing is that at least you and I are aware of it. The people in this chat room are aware of it. We know, and we have prepared as much as possible. I'm sure that mentally we'll never prepare, you know, because we've never gone through this. This is going to be worse than any depression anyone's seen in this country. I would bet you, because when they both of them talked today, Glenn and the other gentleman, I can't remember his name, bad with names. He talked about when this thing hits, it's probably going to hit fast and it's going to hit hard and it'll probably all in one day. The interest rates are going to skyrocket. The prices, the inflation is going to be almost like Weimar Republic because they just keep printing the damn stuff out of thin air. And it's going to be, there's going to be food shortages, Bill, I'm telling you. That's one of the things that's scary, and all this Agenda 21, I know it's part of the plan. This is why I go to these meetings, because I have to come down on these people and tell them, look, I've got to just, when I go, I have to do what Ron said, and you've got to start asking questions and not, like, jump down their throats because they don't have the knowledge that we do, and we can't mind meld them, so.
Well, you know, they have selective knowledge, Linda.
Yeah. But see, a lot of them, I mean, I'm serious. These people, I wrote to this guy, and we had this back and forth email exchange, and he was, you know, saying I'm crazy because I'm, you know, he's calling me a conspiracy theorist and all this nonsense about A21. And my last one was, I'm going, so you're telling me that you don't think Agenda 21 actually exists? I said, and then I went into ICLEI, the foundation of it. It was 2 years before the Rio Summit in Germany. That's where it was formed. You know,
there was a video, Linda. In 1992, of Nancy Pelosi introducing Agenda 21 on the House floor.
Oh, I told him that too. He didn't bother to go there. No,
that's the thing. See, they don't want to have to look up information.
No.
So they'll take the word of somebody they've never met on TV, the media.
Oh, yeah.
And
they'll
accept that as gospel, never checking to find out that this guy's been lying to you the entire time.
This is what I asked him. I said, do you ever question anything? I said, do the city council and mayor members ever question anything? I says, apparently they don't. I says, because you guys are just running headlong into this, taking all this smart growth words and all this terminology and the roundabouts and the this, that, and the other thing, and you're just swallowing it, and you haven't even figured out where it came from and what the end game is. Not one word. I said, why do you think that over 600 plus cities in the United States all employ ICLEI? All right, they all do the central general plans. I said, and all the plans are identical because they're written by the same people from the Earth Charter and Agenda 21. I said, there, you know, that some people are getting wise to it and kicking ICLEI out of their entire states, but and some of the city councils are getting rid of ICLEI, but the problem is they didn't trash the general plans along with this agency, which they should have.
Well,
it's ridiculous.
That's the whole thing of, like, Rick Perry coming to California and telling people to come to Texas. Your problem there, Rick Perry, is they're going to bring their same ideologies and stuff with them. And you've already got Sheila Jackson Lee in your state.
You know, maybe not all of them will do that, because most of the people who are small business owners are probably not Democrats and probably not libtards. I think the majority of the liberals in this state are the takers and the Obama bot phones and the people in Sacramento who actually work for the government instead of private sector in high places like state assembly, et cetera. This is what I think is happening. And there, you know, there's a certain segment of the population who don't own businesses, who just work for conservatives, and they are the liberals. You know what I'm saying? So not all of them would be of that ilk. And you guys, you know, every state has their own responsibility and their duty to squash this crap wherever it rises its ugly head, because I don't care what state you're in, other than Alabama, who kicked it out, you're going to be fighting this stuff. You know?
Exactly. If your state's not fighting it, then there's something damn sure wrong in your state.
Oh, this state's done. It's done. It's cooked.
I did want to address the minimum wage hike that Obama talked about.
Oh, God.
There are two answers that will come out of you doing that. One, either the small businessman will have to lay off people.
Yep.
Or
and
two,
cut their hours.
He will have to jack the price of his product.
Both will happen. I predict both.
And either way, we lose.
Oh, yeah. It's always, that's what Rand Paul said. Every time they pull this stuff, the only people who lose out are hardworking American taxpayer middle class every single time. And it's a God's truth. Now, I'm not sure on the in-depth vision of Rand Paul on immigration, because I haven't sat down and talked to him. You know, my show's not got enough listeners for him to come hanging out with me. But, you know, I had to email him. I had to say, hey, come on and answer some questions for us because we got a bunch of them.
Oh, yeah.
He might do it. Say,
if you want to get up on immigration and what's going on, IFIRE, Indiana
right.
Federation of Immigration Reform and Enforcement, Sharif Labro or Greg Serban, they are awesome. They've been doing this for a while. They are up on every step of this. And
now tell me again so I can write it down.
IFIRE. IFIRE.
Okay. And that's .com?
Yeah, they're on Facebook too.
Okay. I'll try to get that.
The leaders are Cherie Calabro and Greg Serban.
Okay. Fabulous. I'll check them out. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure that a lot of people in the chat room just refused to listen to that guy, and I really wish I had not seen him because I got too upset and, you know, melted down.
Well, that's
not
what they want to do, Linda. They want to get us upset. They want us to react badly so that then they can report on stuff people say and try to make people look bad.
Oh, yeah.
You look. They're attacking Marco Rubio over taking a drink of water.
Well, I like Marco Rubio.
You had to have you had to have something to wash down the crap Obama was feeding us.
Exactly. So did we all. But everything he talked about with the education and what really got me was the manufacturing and the carbon tax and all this stuff, and he's threatening to use his executive powers and all this nonsense, and that's why Rand Paul came up with his speech and said, no. He says, we are going to stop him, and if we have to take him back, thank you, yo. Be blessed, honey, and take care. Get some rest. We only got about 13 minutes left anyway, but he says, if we have to take him back to court again on any of these issues, we will do it. And he says, we will not let him touch that Second Amendment. So he's serious, Bill, on this one. He will not back down. Thank God we've got him. And he won't.
We're seeing new people rise up, and you don't
Ted
know where
Cruz.
They're going to go, but they're the good doctor who's recently spoke out.
I love him.
Yeah, I do too.
Carson or Benjamin something? Yeah.
Dr. Benjamin Carson. And he is really, I mean, how do they attack him? They're going to call him a racist?
Oh, it's just ridiculous. I am so glad he did that. That was the best.
A man who definitely has common sense. You know, the superpower that is lacking on the left.
Mm-hmm.
And he could be a major player, I believe. As long as he doesn't get caught up in the political party
politics.
Yeah, you know, you don't get caught up in the establishments. And that's the problem we have. The Republican Party, I have no faith in it because you're establishment. You're no different than the Democrat Party. You're Karl Rove's, you're Jeb Bush's, and you can take all them people and shove them up your rear because they mean nothing to me.
Yeah,
they are just as big a part of the problem as anything. And I know about the Bush's involvement in Agenda 21. I know about Clinton and Obama's involvement in it. So you tell me why would I support a Republican or a Democrat?
At this point, no. I mean, you know, if they're speaking like Rand Paul speaking, which doesn't fall too far from the Ron Paul tree, you know, then we got something to talk about. And Oz had a question because I haven't heard this yet, but I know it's probably they're still trying to do it because the last bastion of freedom is and freedom of information is our internet.
Yes, he did.
Oh, he did. Okay.
He did this morning.
Oh, God. I didn't hear that. Oh, my God.
Oh, no. That's why he did it in the morning.
Oh, he's such a rat. God, he's a rat. You know.
Oh, yeah. He's everything is so transparent.
Uh-huh. Yeah. The only transparency is we can see clear through to his Marxist soul. Man, that's about as that's the only part that's clear as a bell.
The sadness is his two daughters, for the rest of their lives, are going to have to endure the criticisms of having their father having been the worst president in the history of the United States.
Oh, Yeah, well.
A traitor to his country.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No, they,
a traitor to his people.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to get a hold. Oh, there it is. He says executive order improving cybersecurity. But that's what – these are executive orders, Oz. These aren't laws. This is – he's not even – he's not
they
supposed
are all,
to be able
– Well, what they are, Linda, is every one of them is a step towards finalizing it to us
yeah.
into Agenda 21.
Oh, I know.
Everything
Absolutely.
He does is a step in that direction in some way or another. And until we wake up, until we come together and say, all right, we know what it is now. It's Agenda 21, and that's what we're going to, every one of us, work to stop.
Right.
Instead of going in 100,000 different directions
right.
and never being organized enough, never mm-hmm. being able to draw up enough crowds to get your point across.
I know. That's the thing. No, you're right. That's why I go
on
to the local meeting.
On 9/12, a couple of years ago,
uh-huh.
We were together.
Right.
We went to the rally in D.C. on 8/28.
Right.
We were together.
Yeah.
But we haven't been together since then.
Oh, I know. That's why I think
that's
that...
the kind of togetherness. That's the kind of drawing us together, standing together.
Yeah, that's,
the
I
one
think...
one voice that we need in this country.
Right. There's been a
but
lot
what
of...
we've got too many Tea Party groups that are trying to self-promote, too
sure.
many Tea Party groups that are trying to put themselves out there and draw crowds to them and
right.
not worrying about
I
their
know.
Countries in general so much as their own agenda.
Yeah, and
Gilbert,
a lot of them are just...
Throw
just
that stuff
about.
Out the window.
I know.
If I got to register to be a member of your group and have to be monitored or whatever, censored and everything, then get out of that group.
Yep. No, you're... I think Glenn touched on that today, where we really, really need to get back to the rallies and show, you know what I mean? Show the force that we are, because it can be done, Bill. I think that there's ways to do it. I just haven't figured it out yet. In fact, Ron, he had to work but he couldn't do it because he sent me an email. He's buying a squirt gun, so that's why he's not here. And so some of his friends at the outdoor trader that he talks to online, et cetera, were going to show up at I think it was a state capitol or a city hall or something. And it was in the morning, but naturally he was working, but he sent the message to his friends who are going to stand in his stead and speak for the Second Amendment rights and gun rights at these meetings in front of these legislators, et cetera. Because,
well, that's going all across the country in every
yes.
state capital.
Yep.
And I encourage everybody that can to attend.
Yep.
If you don't have nothing on your schedule for the day, then put this on your schedule.
Right.
It's time to stand up. The time for standing down, the time for silence, the time for being pacifistic is over.
Mm.
It is time to stand up, scream at the top of your lungs, because it's our children and our grandchildren whose futures are being thrown down the toilet.
Mm. I know, it's really bad. So anyway, we got just about 7 minutes left, and I you know, that's why I'm going to go to that meeting next week, because, and I'm going to ask my friends here in the mobile home park, they're very active in these things, who all's going, and we might be able to just carpool over there. And everybody, what we do is we all take turns speaking. We only get about 3 minutes, but, you know, once I find out what's exactly on the agenda, on their roster to speak about, and what the public input gets to be, believe me, I will have all my ammunition from my Agenda 21 folder for the past 3.5 years that I've been gathering. So that I can just hit them with it and ask
there's
questions.
One more thing I want to get out there.
Go ahead.
Nancy Pelosi, the mother of immorality that you are, your comments that America doesn't have a spending problem, well, you tell that to the child that's less than a year old that has over $50,000 of debt.
Yeah. That she's
tell him that there's no spending problem.
That
I'm tired. I'm tired of you people attacking the children of this nation.
Yep.
I'm tired of you people doing the things you're doing and destroying any chance for a future, any chance for an opportunity for the children of this nation.
Absolutely.
I am tired of it. I am fed up with it.
Well, she's a liar and a delusional one at that. Now, there was a question posed on these, President Pat Lode's speech, and I think Glenn said, is he delusional or is he lying? And I said to myself, he's lying, Glenn. That's all he knows how to do. Of course he's lying. Oh, God. Anyway, thank you so much for calling. And I want to do a little bit of a rundown on the shows. And your points are well taken because you're right. And that's why I do what I do. And you know, we go on Tuesdays. We go on blogs. We do our Facebook. We gather the information. We go to those meetings. I go to my meetings to try to regroup to figure out what we're going to do and who we're going to attack next, you know, which city council we're going after this time, guys, you know, that kind of stuff, because it's very important. We have to explain what's going on, and we're not going to stand for it. And this is, you know, this is what we want to see from you people. You are elected officials. You are not kings, and you're going to have to listen to public input. So I'm fighting it in my own city. I know it's horrible. So, thank you, FT Oz, Bill, Doc, and everybody else who's listening out there. Come see Terry's show tomorrow. She is 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. my time, Pacific, and she's Patriot Education, and that woman does for an hour and a half. She doesn't even need callers. She just goes. You know, she's just amazing. And then Friday we have sometimes – I can't because I have a dance class, but Michael Magic does his spiritual shows, 7 p.m. Eastern. Saturday we have Mike from the Hot Seat. He's on Blog Talk. He's not part of Patriot Families, but he's like independent radio, and he does a great job. And then we have nothing so much on Sundays except Socialism Not an Option if you want to go to that one. All these guys are friends, you know. It's kind of funny. And then Monday, of course, we have Constitution Hour. Ron Golden, he does all that stuff, and that's 7:30 p.m. Eastern for about an hour. And Tuesday, Bill and Linda, Patriot Family Chat. So far, I did put in a call to Hollis, but haven't heard anything back, so I don't know what's going on. But and then Wednesday back here with Right from the Left Coast, we patriotfamilies.com. Yeah, everyone be blessed. Thanks so much, Bill. And I'm going to play a little bit of Keep the Change because that's one of my favorite ones. He gives him, you know what? You guys be blessed. Have a great time. See you next week and tune into our shows. Thanks, Bill. We're going to get this reunion together. Somehow we've got to get a hold of Yola. If you want to do Delaney, I'm all ready. I'm ready.
Hey, we can do Delaney. No problem.
Okay. You let her know. Okay. Thanks a lot, guys. Good night. Let me get this playing.
I'll keep my guns, try to keep my money and my religion too. Try to keep on working, try to keep on smiling. I will keep my Christian name and y'all can keep the change. I'll keep my heroes, pictures on the wall. I'll keep my family safe, you bluff and I'll call. I'm gonna keep my big V8, keep my friends the same, keep the government out of my business, and y'all can keep the change. This country sure as hell been going down the drain. We know what we need, we know who to blame. United Socialist States of America. How do you like that name? The USA, and y'all can keep the change. Friends want to put me down, ask for my opinion, then twist it all around. Supposed to be talking about my father's new CD. Well, two can play that gotcha game. Just wait.
Good night, guys. God bless. See you next week.